just in case anybody wants to go back and listen to this again. You never know. I thought it was interesting, Bill, you brought up that you like war movies or military movies this morning, because those are some of my favorites. And I particularly like Saving Private Ryan, World War II stuff, Band of Brothers. There was one that came out recently, I didn't see it, maybe some of you had, called Hacksaw Ridge. I believe that has to do with a medic. Is that right? Is that the one about the medic? Okay. Did you see it?
Did.
Okay, Corman, okay. But, you know, the thing about war movies or any kind of movie that you really like that's got a good storyline, I know a lot of people liked Aaron Brockovich. I never saw it, but, you know, Aaron Brockovich is a lawyer that really has a deep desire to want to do something and to do something for good. You know, now the movie itself, from what I understand, you know, it is what it is. It's a movie. But the story behind it, and those stories inspire us. And the thing about those is you might walk out of that movie theater and you might be inspired for, like, I don't know, a day or two or maybe a week. But eventually, that inspiration just kind of fades away. Now, my fear is that what happens when we read the Bible? Now, I hope not. Because the Bible is not just a bunch of stories that are strung together that are meant to inspire us. You know, we can come to church on Sunday mornings and we can hear a really good sermon. Man, that was a really good sermon, you know, and there was really some good points that person brought out that I really didn't think about before. But as Monday gets here and as Tuesday gets here and as Wednesday gets here, do those things just kind of fade off? Do we lose our inspiration? Because the thing we've got to remember is that those stories, I'm going to use this term loosely, stories that are in the Bible, they're strung together for a purpose, and it is the living and active Word of God that is in the Scriptures. And it's meant to do more than just inspire us. It's meant to make us want to make a fundamental change in the way that we live, breathe, and think about God and our relationship with God and the way we think about the world. I often say this too. I get caught saying it all the time, but I really don't appreciate what I'm saying until I was thinking about it for this lesson. But have we ever told ourselves, okay, I'm going to go into the Scriptures, I'm going to have a blank slate today when I read this. I'm going to forget about everything that I've ever thought about the Scripture before. I'm going to go and I'm going to read it and I'm going to study it, see if I can get something different out of it, see if I can get something better out of it. That's a good attitude to have with the Scriptures. But how many of us really think about wiping the slate clean as far as everything that we have really ever been taught, the way we were raised, the way this the belief systems of our culture and even our country? How often do we wipe that slate clean and then read the Scriptures? Because with a truly clean slate, we will get a better grasp of what God is trying to communicate with us to us through the Scriptures. Now, we're going to talk tonight about a story about a blind man that regained his sight, but that's tonight. I want you to come back tonight. But after this blind man is healed, it fundamentally changes his life. It changes everything from his relationship with his family, because blind people couldn't have any kind of a relationship. They were ostracized from the community to the point that where even their relatives even cut them off. Okay? This morning, we're going to look at the story, though, of the Good Samaritan. And that's in Luke chapter 10. This is probably a story we can all tell without even having to look at it, but let's read it anyway. But let's read this story now this morning and look at it, and let's see what God wants us to glean from it. Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37, it says, "And a lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And he said to him, 'What is written in the law? How does it read to you?' And he answered and he said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live.'" But the lawyer wants to take it a step further, because he doesn't really believe, by judging from his question, he has a certain idea about who his neighbor is. Okay? So he asked the question. He says there in verse 29, "And who is my neighbor?" And Jesus replied and said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers. They stripped him, they beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion. And he came to him, bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. And he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you." Now, Jesus turns to the lawyer now and says, "Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands?" And he said, and you notice, he can't even say the word. You all ever notice that in the Scripture? He can't even bring himself to say Samaritan. He just says, "The one who showed him mercy toward him." And Jesus just says, "Go and do the same." You know, there's a lot of debate as to whether or not this parable or this story is something that actually happened that Jesus saw or witnessed, or if it's just something that he's making up to prove a point. But in the end, it doesn't even matter. The point is that all around us, every single day, there are people that have been beaten, left for dead on the side of the road every day in the world. They have fallen into the pits of despair. They have fallen into addiction. They have fallen into abuse. And they're laying on the side of the road there, left for dead. Let's take it a step further. Let's bring it a little closer, okay? A little closer to home. There are people in this room that at one time or another will fall into this illustration. They'll get so brought down by the cares of the world, things will get hard, and they will. Legitimately, hardship will come upon people, and they'll be laying on the side of the road. But let's go even closer to home. There may be people in this room right now that are going through something very difficult, very hard, and they need somebody to reach out to them. We read the story of the priest and the Levite walk right on by, and they have a choice. It's not as if they didn't have a choice whether to stop by and help this guy. And you would think the priest, who has the knowledge of the Scriptures and who has a relationship with God, he knows what it's like to be able to go into the temple and be able to worship God and see all of those wonderful things that are a sight to behold. The veil, the temple veil, you know, all of that. The gold, the silver. He knows the teachings of God, and yet he keeps walking right on by. And the Levite's in the same position. The Levite knows the teachings of God. He knows what he ought to do, and yet he walks right on by. But then you have a Samaritan that passes by. Of course, we don't have to wonder the irony of the situation here. Why did Jesus use a Samaritan? So if I don't have to tell you, the Jews and the Samaritans lived on different sides of the track, to use terminology that we use today. And not only does the Samaritan do what's required, the last couple of times I've had the privilege to speak and bring the message to you, we've talked about second mile mentality, because the first mile for this Samaritan and what he does to this man that's laying on the side of the road would have been to pick him up, bandage his wounds, and then send him out, "All right, buddy, here you go. Be on your way." That's just doing what would have been required. The priest and the Levite didn't even do what was required at all. But not only does the Samaritan do what's required, he takes it an extra step. He goes the second mile. You realize the significance of pouring oil and wine? Wine to disinfect, oil to soothe. And then puts him on a donkey. It says a beast, but it's something that you can ride on, clearly. Takes him to an inn. And an inn represents what? Comfort. And a warm bed or whatever they had, it represents comfort and rest and peace, because he doesn't have to lay there on the side of the road wondering if somebody's just going to finish him off anymore. Just kill him, because he's already half dead. And then only that, stays with him for one night, because he says the next day he gets up, he says, "Here, you don't let him out of your sight until he's better. And when he leaves, and when I'm back through here, I'm going to repay you." So now, what's the real point of the story? I mean, I know we kind of understand that, you know, that, hey, you know, it's like, hey, we got to be good to people, okay? And my response to that is, duh, okay? I'm trying to be harsh, but duh, we're supposed to be good to people. What Jesus is illustrating to this Jew, this lawyer that's asked the question is, he's trying to show that there is a fundamental difference between someone who is religious and someone who wants to make a difference in people's lives. There's a difference between a religious person like this is, that's just trying to kind of keep their status quo, kind of keep making sure that they're okay. And there's a big difference between somebody who's a child of God who wants to go out and make a difference in the world and in people's lives. That's the point of this story. I told you earlier, I like the military movies, and I catch myself wondering, and I think about my grandfather because he served in World War II. I catch myself wondering if I could really ever put myself in harm's way like that. You know, that I would be willing to risk my life for my country, for my friends. And I'm not trying to discount what kind of courage that takes from our military. But in God's eyes, there is something much, much more that can make a much bigger difference. And that is to reach out when we see an opportunity and to do good to people. You see, we have little things that come upon us every single day, and we have the opportunity to do something for someone, and only one of these men in this story acted accordingly. And I don't know why it is that sometimes that maybe we see something and we don't help, you know. But the reality that we need to understand is when we have an opportunity and we want to help people, always remember that it is not about you, me. I'm going to personalize it here so we'll keep it straight. It's not about me, and it's certainly not about the person that I'm trying to reach out and help, but it's always about God. It's always about what Jesus, because I didn't save myself, and there's nothing I can do, no amount of good I can do to this person over here that's going to save me. I do what I do. I act when I see the opportunity only because God and Jesus are the ones that have reached out and saved me. That's it. Now, in the text, we don't know the reason why these two men passed by. We don't. But let's just suppose that we might conjecture a little bit here. You know, we know that road, if you read in history, biblical history, that road from Jerusalem to Jericho had a lot of thieves and a lot of robbers on it. It was not a safe road to travel, right? Maybe the priest and the Levite walked by and they're looking at him like, didn't you know that you wasn't supposed to walk on this road? But here they are walking the same road, true, granted. But still, what do? They pass by on the other side because lest there be somebody over on that side of the road that's lying in wait and hiding, and they're going to rob me too. Looking at that man saying, didn't you know not to walk on that side of the road? I mean, what's the matter with you? What are you thinking? Or they see somebody, maybe we see somebody struggling with a sin or a problem, you know? Do we? We surely would never have the thought to say, well, they should know better. Surely we wouldn't have that thought. I hope we don't have that thought. Maybe these two men that passed by in the story, maybe they just really could have cared less. You know, maybe they just didn't want to take the time, put in the time or the effort to try to get involved in this guy's life over here. It's just laying dead on the side of the road. Because, you know, if he helps him, you know, he may find out he's got a family and they may have problems. And you know, I just don't have the time. I'm too busy. Now you tell me, are we still on the story or are we here in present day? That's the question we have to ask. What religion was doing to these people in the story, I say the people in the story, I mean the Jew who asked the question, what religion's doing to them, it's making them self-centered and making them focused on their own righteousness. But no one here in this room today, no one here in this room is part of any religion at all. We are children of God. And the minute that we start getting religious, the further away from God we're going to find ourselves getting. And that's the reason why these two men didn't help. Because they were too focused on their own religion. But the question always comes up, but when we have the opportunity to help a brother or a sister, do we or don't we? And what are some reasons why we don't? Because like we said, one of the things we conjectured earlier, maybe these men looked at this guy and said, you know what, I just don't have the time right now. You know, I've got to get to where I'm going. Because it takes time and effort to get involved in somebody's life, right? And I know myself better than anybody else does, although my wife might say she knows me better. I don't know. Maybe she does. But here's the big one that hits home for me is whenever we want to try to get involved in somebody's life, you know something else that might cost us? It might cost us money. Like I say, I'm speaking as that as a shot to myself. All right, I'll be the first person to admit that. But whatever the reasons we don't help, here's the way to fix it. I read a book over the weekend, and it's funny because now I'm sitting here up in the front row this morning, and I can't even remember the name of the book. But one of the passages stuck out to me, and here's the way to fix it. Keep your focus on this. Grasp and wrap your mind around this concept for me, all right? Jesus left who he was in heaven to come down here and be who he needed to be on earth for us. Jesus left who he was in heaven to come down here to be who he needed to be for us here on earth, to give us the pattern and to give us the example. You do realize, and remember, this is at the core, this is at the core of our faith, and this should be at the core of all that we do, is a realization that we're the ones that needed to be on that cross. We're the ones that deserve to be beaten and tortured and killed for our sin because our sin separated us from God. But now Jesus looks at us, stands before us. We're back here. Jesus stands here. God stands here. And God looks through Jesus and sees us, the individual members of the church, but sees the body through Jesus. How does God view you as a Christian? You know, sometimes we say we're saved sinners, right? We say that. But how does God really look at us? He sees us as spotless. He sees us without blemish. He sees us clothed with Christ, Galatians chapter 2. That's how God sees you. Now, let's act accordingly when we see people who are in need. We have to be a representation of God. Just like this Samaritan was a representation of Jesus. Jesus on countless occasions showed mercy and compassion upon people. This Samaritan showed mercy and compassion. And we will not love the lost. We will not love the afflicted in this world. And we will not love each other here the way that God would have us to do until we wrap our minds around the concept I just illustrated. That this is how God sees us. God sees us through Jesus. And this is, I'm going to close up here in a second, but take this as a general statement. Okay. Does it seem like Christianity is losing its influence? I see some heads shaking yes. Okay. I'll ask it again. Does Christianity seem like it's losing its influence? Not just in this country, but all across the world. Could it be, and I'm talking about across all religions, all religions, all denominations, could it be that people are just seeing people in need and they're just walking on by? It's a hard question to ask, but it has to be asked. Is that what's going on? Because they just sit in church and think that they're okay and they don't reach out to those that need help. Because this is one of the number one things that you hear after, I'm just using like a mass shooting as an example here. Because the question always gets asked, well, did you see any warning signs? Could we have seen this coming? And the answer is always, man, you know, there's no way we could have seen this coming. I don't buy it. I don't buy it at all. I'm just going to tell you firmly, I believe that somewhere, somebody, someday had the thought that, man, something is not right. And what'd they do? Walked right on by. That's it. You know? Once again, I want to close this point. I want to make the point again with light open. I'm talking about Christianity in general. Okay? It's hard. Things might be difficult to see at times. But that's why eyes and ears have always got to be open. That's why we can't be self-centered. Now I'm personalizing. We cannot be self-centered and so lost in the things that we've got going on and the time and the effort and the energy that we put into stuff that really in the grand scheme of things doesn't matter when it compared to somebody that's laying dead on the side of the road. But to close on an uplifting note, I always remember that Christ died for my sins. You might always remember that Christ died for your sins. Nothing wrong with that. Make it bigger than that, please, I implore you, because John chapter 3, verse 16 says what? For God so loved not the world, as in the circular shape, but mankind. He loved humanity so much that He gave His only begotten Son. Do we love humanity that same way? Because, you know, people are difficult. Let's face it, you know. People have problems and they're problematic, and maybe that's another reason we don't get involved. But that's not what God asks us to do. That person that's always complaining and they've got the problems in their life, God asks us to stop and listen. That's what He wants us to do. But in everything that we do, whatever it is, whatever opportunity that we have, pray that if you have enough faith, I shouldn't say if you have enough faith, but pray that your faith is strong, that you stop by and you help that person. You have no idea how they're going to help. You have no idea how you're going to help them. You know, it could be somebody that is depressed and seriously thinking about ending their life. If your faith is strong enough to reach out and talk to that person, I guarantee you, God is going to give you the right thing to say. He will. God will use you as an instrument. Because that's all He wants to do with any of us, is just to use us. And finally, close up. When we do have that opportunity, I've already said it once, but I want to say it again. We have got to be a representation of Jesus. We've got to be a representation of God. We've got to be merciful. We've got to be compassionate. We've got to be loving. All of those things. And any other characteristic of God that you want to throw in there, there's hundreds of them in the Bible. All of those things. Because if we're living for Him, if we're truly living for Him, we say we're following after Jesus, the guy on the side of the road is going to get help. But our job is to meet the needs, whatever the needs might be. They can be physical. They can be emotional. But number one, we have got to make sure that we never lose sight of the big picture is it's somebody that is lost without God. So this morning, if you have any needs whatsoever, if you need strengthening, if your faith needs strengthening, you need encouragement, we ask you to come forward as you do that. We can pray for you. If there's someone here who has not obeyed the gospel, is not a child of God, we also invite you to come forward at this time too. Tori will lead us in the invitation song number 145.